Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102.7.
Good morning, beautiful people of God. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on the Mighty Hot 102.7, and it is good to be with you this morning. Today I'm going to begin in a very unusual place with a slight history lesson on the temple, because we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 13, where Jesus says that the temple will be destroyed, and obviously the disciples are alarmed. But in order to understand why they're alarmed, we need to understand how central the temple was to Jewish worship at that time. So the first temple was built by Solomon, the son of King David, to house the Ark of the Covenant. David had asked if he could build it, because up until then the Ark of the Covenant had moved wherever they moved to, and David felt that it needed a permanent home, and once he captured Jerusalem, he thought that's where the Ark should be. And he actually chose where it should be built. It is believed that it was built where Abraham had built the altar on which to sacrifice his son Isaac. So David chose the spot, but then God said to him in 1 Chronicles 28, God said to David, I can't let you build the temple for the Ark of the Covenant because you have too much blood on your hands. We need to remember how many wars David had fought in, how many people had died. And so God said, let Solomon build it. And that's what Solomon did. Solomon built the first temple, and it was a beautiful temple. And up until the time of Josiah, there were different places to sacrifice in the kingdom of Judah, but once Josiah came in, he said only the temple of Jerusalem could be used. So that's why it became absolutely central to Jewish faith. And it was an abode for the ark and a place of assembly for the entire people. The building itself was not huge, but the courtyard was extensive. The temple faced eastwards, and interestingly enough, churches today are also supposed to face eastwards. It was oblong. It had three rooms of equal width. It had a porch, it had a vestibule, the main room of religious service, or holy place, and it had the Holy of Holies, a sacred room in which that ark rested. A storehouse surrounded the temple, except on its front side, the east side. So that first temple had five altars, one at the entrance of the Holy of Holies, two others within the building, and the other two outside. Within the Holy of Holies, there were two cherubim of olive wood that stood on either side of the ark. And that innermost sanctuary was considered the dwelling place of God, and it could only be entered by a high priest and only on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, so only once a year did anyone go in and see the Ark of the Covenant. Unfortunately, under the rule of Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, Israel was conquered and a whole lot of the Israelites were carried off into exile and the temple was destroyed, but more than that, all the religious icons, including the ark, disappeared at that time. So everything was stolen and carried off to Babylon. And we do not know where that ark is. There is a theory that it is in one church. I think it's called St. Mary's. And the person who looks after it has to stay there for their whole life. They're not allowed out. But no one's got any photographs and no proof that it is actually there. So we don't know where the Ark of the Covenant is. But then Cyrus II of Persia decided that actually that temple was important. So when he conquered Babylon, he issued an order that all the exiled Jews must return to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. So that work was completed in about 515 BCE. And while we don't know the exact details of that second temple, it was constructed as a modest version of the original building. And we know that mostly the temple was respected during that time. However, it was plundered again in 169 BCE and desecrated in 167 BCE, but that caused a massive uprising and what they call the Hasmonean Revolt, during which Judas Maccabeus cleansed and rededicated the temple. So I'm hoping you're getting the idea now that that temple is the absolute center stone of the Jewish religion at this time. Then during the Roman conquest, Pompey entered the Holy of Holies, but left the temple intact, and eventually it was again plundered and destroyed. Construction began on the second temple. So this is, the first one was rebuilt. This is a new temple. Construction began in 20 BCE and lasted for 46 years. The area of the Temple Mount was doubled and surrounded by a retaining wall with gates. The temple was raised, enlarged, and faced with white stone, and the new temple served as a gathering place, porticos sheltering the merchants and the money changers. And if we remember, Jesus went in and overturned the tables of the money changers. That's where he did it. So that temple, the Herodian temple, was again the center of Israelite life. And it was not only the focus of religious ritual, but also where the repository of the Holy Scriptures were, other national literature, and a meeting place of the Sanhedrin. Now, if we go back in Scripture, we remember Peter and John had to appear before the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 4, and that is the highest court of Jewish law during the Roman period. Unfortunately, or fortunately, we don't know with history, the rebellion against Rome began in 66 CE. What was unfortunate then was that the temple was destroyed again. So what Jesus predicts, as we're going to read just now in Mark chapter 13, comes to fruition. So Jesus prophesies this, and it happens. All that remains is the retaining wall surrounding the Temple Mount, a portion of the Western Wall, which we know as the Wailing Wall, and I think we've all seen photographs of people going there, putting prayers on that wall and praying. It still is a religious site. So that is the history of the temple. And the reason I'm reading it is for us to understand, when we read just now in Mark, how shocking it was that Jesus said that not one stone would remain on another. But coming up now on the Mighty Heart 1027, guide me, O thy great Redeemer.
Sunrise with Shona
on Heart 1027.
Guide me, O thy great Redeemer, on the Mighty Heart 1027. Good morning, you're listening to Reverend Shona from St. Mark's Anglican Church, and it's great to be with you this morning. We've begun by looking at why the temple was so significant, how important it was to the people of Israel, and how it was central to their worship, as well as a meeting place, as well as a place of sacrifice, and how they believed that God resided in that Holy of Holies, that inner room, and how we don't know what happened to the Ark of the Covenant. I want to now go into Mark chapter 13, which is what we're going to be looking at today, and look at what Jesus says to the disciples. So Jesus has just spoken and commented on that widow who gave her last mite, gave everything she had. And now as they're leaving the temple, one of the disciples says to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings." And I'm going to pause here because those stones were enormous. They were gigantic stones. And it had taken a lot to build that temple. "Do you see all these great buildings?" replies Jesus. "Not one stone will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." Now, when we look at the temple, I think we understand now why this was so shocking. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew ask him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen? What will be the sign that they are about to be fulfilled?" And I think that's a reasonable question. They've got this massive temple in front of them. They're sitting looking at it, and Jesus has just said it's going to be destroyed. And they want to know when this is going to happen. And Jesus says, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many are going to come in my name claiming I am he and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed." Let us just hear that again. "Do not be alarmed," Jesus says. "Don't be worried. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains." These are the beginning of birth pains. I think if we look around, a lot of this is happening today, but we need to remember that it's happened generation after generation. And I'll look at those birth pains earlier. What are those birth pains? Is that a good thing that they're birth pains? "You must be on your guard," says Jesus. "You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogue. And on account of me, you're going to stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them." And we've just heard about in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John having to stand before the Sanhedrin. "And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever you're arrested and brought to trial, don't worry beforehand what to say. Just say what's given to you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit." And he goes on then to speak about how absolutely awful it's going to be for everyone. And he's grateful that God cuts the days or none of us would survive. So in verse 20 we read, "If the Lord had not cut short those days, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect whom he's chosen, God has shortened them. At that time, if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Messiah,' or 'Look, there he is,' don't believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So be on your guard. I've told you everything ahead of that time." And then in verse 24 he says, "But in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven." Now what do we make of all of this? And of course we've given this chapter the title, Destruction of the Temple and End Times. But I believe that in this message there is hope. And there is a message for us on how we need to be living, how we need to be reigned faithful. And I'll look at that in a moment, but first on the Mighty Heart 1027, 10,000 Reasons.
Sunrise with Shona
on Heart 1027.
10,000 Reasons on the Mighty Heart 1027. Good morning. If you've just joined us, welcome. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona. And we've been looking at the temple and the history of the temple and how it was rebuilt, how it was raided, how the ark disappeared. And we've been looking at Mark chapter 13. And I want to go into it in more detail now because it could be seen as something that's quite depressing about the end times and how difficult life's going to be. But I believe that within it is also a message of hope. So let's go right back to the beginning. It is unusual, perhaps, that the disciple suddenly mentions the big stones of the temple. I'm not sure why. They would have seen that temple their whole lives. But suddenly he mentions those big stones and the magnificent buildings. Maybe he's trying to distract Jesus. I think we've done that before. Jesus has just been criticizing the temple authorities. He's been making critique of them, especially with the widow only having a small amount of money and giving everything she had. And maybe he's just trying to cheer him up or distract him. We don't know. But he suddenly speaks about these massive stones. And then Jesus says, "Not one stone will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." And of course, the disciples, as I said, want to know when this is going to happen. And he goes into a long thing on how we have to be careful that no one will deceive us. But he does say to his disciples, all these things are going to happen, terrible things, earthquakes, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There's going to be terrible things happening, and the only reason we'll survive is because God has cut short that time. But he says to his disciples, do not be alarmed. And I want to pause there today and look at that. Do not be alarmed. I think we need to hear Jesus say that to us today because people are very worried about the world. They look at world politics. They look at the wars that are taking place, even within our own country. We look at corruption and poverty, and we could be very alarmed and worried about the future. But I think Jesus is saying to us, do not be alarmed. We are safe in the hands of God, and we need to remain in the hands of God, and we need to remain faithful through it. When we see what those disciples had to face, we know that they went through terrible trial and tribulation, but they remained faithful to God. So we need to actually just realize that these things are going to happen. We don't know for how long, but we must not be alarmed. We need to remain faithful to God. And then Jesus says an interesting thing. They're the beginning of birth pains. Now to all the women who are listening, giving birth is not a pleasant thing. I think most of us would agree that it is a very painful thing. It's not something that we would do just for fun. But the reward is that beautiful baby at the end. And it's just, there's nothing for me that can compare to holding that baby after you've given birth. And of course, when Jesus says birth pains, I think he's saying the world is laboring, but that's where the hope comes in for me, for something better. That's what Jesus is saying. If the birth pains, then it's giving birth to something better, something more. God is always the God of the more, the God of the better. And so we need to hold on to that when we realize what's going on around us and when we're worried about what's going on. Don't be alarmed. And remember, it's just the beginning of birth pains for the more, which is what God is all about. And then he does say that you're going to be flogged and handed over. He's talking to his disciples. But what I love is that he says to them, don't worry what to say. You will be given the words to say because the Holy Spirit will speak through you. So again, there's a reassurance that if we face trials and tribulations, we're not to worry. Trust in God and allow God to speak in and through us and rely on God to give us the words to speak. We then know that he says things are going to be cut short so that we all survive. And he goes on to talk about the sun being dark and the moon not giving light and so on. But I want to go back to those temple stones now. And I want to just look at what we have as our security. What do we count as security in our lives? Is it our positions? Is that part of our security? Is it our homes? Is it the people around us? Is it perhaps power or privilege? What is our security? And I want to say that just like those temple stones, we need to be aware that our greatest security is in God. It's not in our things, our human things. It is in God because God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God never changes, and God will be with us through all. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor desert you. And so our greatest security is in God, and therefore God needs to have the number one position in our lives. And so I feel very strongly today that as we think of that temple, we need to be aware that sometimes one of our temple stones might be moved, and we feel insecure, and we feel that anxiety. But we need to remember that God is our foundation, and therefore we will be able to stand against anything, because God is with us. And if God is with us, who can be against us? And so this morning, as we've learned about the temple, as we read this reading, let us remember, first of all, do not be alarmed. Secondly, it is the birth pains for something more. And thirdly, God is our temple. God is our security. God needs to be the foundation of that temple. And so when God is the foundation, then we don't need to worry about anything. And lastly, if we are in a difficult place, remember that God will give us the words to speak and God is with us. So I hope that's helped anyone today who's struggling with anyone. I pray that God will bless you and your families. And I thank you so much for listening. To wrap up this morning, all over the world, and blessed assurance. God bless.
Sunrise with Shona
on Heart 102.7.